say in just a couple of minutes. You're listening to BBC Radio 3, 90 to 93 FM on digital radio and online. It's 1 o'clock. Time for the news now, read by Vaughan Savage.
The Spanish government has declared a state of alarm in response to an unofficial strike by air traffic controllers, which has led to the closure of Spanish airspace. The government can now force people back to work. The action has left around 250,000 passengers stranded, 20,000 of them are British. All flights from Britain to Spain have been cancelled. It's been confirmed that the business secretary, Vince Cable, will vote for a rise in university tuition fees in England when the government's proposals are discussed in the Commons next week. At one stage, Mr. Cable had suggested that he could go along with his Liberal Democrat colleagues if they chose to abstain in the Commons. Rules governing how long lorry drivers can stay at the wheel have been relaxed to clear a backlog of essential deliveries of fuel and livestock feed caused by the snow. For the next 4 days, HGV drivers in England and Wales will be allowed to drive for an extra hour a day. Firefighters in Israel say it could take another week to put out forest fires in the north of the country. Two RAF helicopters, normally based in Cyprus, are helping to dump water on the Carmel Mountains. 17,000 people have been evacuated from their homes. The political crisis in the Ivory Coast has deepened. The president for the past 10 years, Laurent Gbagbo, is being sworn back into office in a ceremony in Abidjan. He's defying the United Nations, which says he lost the recent election. Severe weather warnings for widespread ice have been issued for much of the UK, and forecasters say Britain's freezing temperatures could continue into next week. Inclement weather is continuing to cause major disruption, affecting road, rail and air travel. The weather forecast for today, it'll be a cold, grey afternoon, with most places seeing outbreaks of rain, sleet or snow. Temperatures will stay below freezing in much of Yorkshire, the north-east and central and eastern Scotland, but will reach 8 degrees Celsius in Cornwall. The BBC News and weather at 1:02.
And it was read by Vaughan Savage. Well, time now on Radio 3 for today's early music show. Here's Catherine Bott.
Hello. Today's programme starts in the year 1760, marked by the death of King George II, the Hanoverian king for whose coronation Handel wrote the imperishable anthem Zadok the Priest. Handel himself had died the year before, Bach 4 years before that. There's a tremendous temptation, therefore, to say that in 1760 the Baroque had come to a full stop. Well, music history's never been quite as tidy as that, but a new dawn was breaking. 1760 also saw the premieres of symphonies numbers 2, 3, 4 and 5 by a young Viennese composer called Franz Josef Haydn. But back to the end of the Bach and Handel era. Another German composer died in 1760 at the court of Darmstadt, Johann Christoph Graupner.
Oh.
Amen, mein lieber, frommer Gott. Amen, my beloved, gentle Lord. A chorale from a cantata by Johann Christoph Graupner. The performers were the Rheinische Kantorei and Das kleine Konzert, directed by Hermann Max. Graupner rather languishes in obscurity today, which is perhaps just as he would have wanted. He was a modest man, as you'll hear later on. He's probably best known as the composer who unwittingly gave a leg up to one of the immortals. All will become clear. The important word is Leipzig. Graupner was born in 1683, which makes him just 2 years older than Handel and Bach. He was an exceptional singer as a boy and was sent to study at the Thomasschule in Leipzig, where he developed into an outstanding keyboard player and worked as a copyist for his teacher, Johann Kuhnau, organist at St. Thomas's Church. He also embarked on a lifelong friendship with Telemann. Well, I've now mentioned all the key names in today's early music show story. Before I tell it, though, let's hear something by Graupner's teacher, Kuhnau. Organist John Butt plays his fourth biblical sonata.
Thank you.
the fourth biblical sonata by Johann Kuhnau, depicting Hezekiah dying and restored to health, played by John Butt. By the time of his death in 1722, Kuhnau had been cantor of the Thomaskirche for 21 years. This had made him one of Leipzig's most ubiquitous musicians. Not only did he direct the music at the four main churches, as Thomaskantor, he was also responsible for the musical life of the university and for supervising the activities of the city musicians. He had, was obliged to have, fingers in every musical pie. Perhaps he was overworked. During his last years, he suffered chronic ill health. He was constantly lamenting declining musical standards, but seemed unable to maintain authority. He couldn't prevent the best young voices being enticed away from the church to sing at the new Leipzig Opera House. And he wasn't helped by the presence of other, more dynamic musicians who cultivated the bureaucrats of the city in order to get official permission to encroach on his rightful territory. His own student, Fasch, tried to set up as a rival. But the greatest threat to Kuhnau was Telemann, who stole his students, got permission from the mayor to write music for the Thomaskirche, and, crowning insult when Kuhnau was taken ill in 1703, was put on official standby to succeed him if he died. Telemann moved on to greater things 2 years later, but he left a significant legacy. He'd been commissioned by the mayor to write a new cantata every Sunday for the Thomaskirche, and Kuhnau was obliged to agree, presumably through gritted teeth, to continue this new tradition. Kuhnau was an outstandingly gifted teacher, but when he died, the city fathers looked for someone less parochial to replace him. The obvious choice was the sharpest thorn in his flesh, the brilliant, successful Telemann, now working in Hamburg. And he was delighted with their invitation, but not necessarily for the right reasons.
Oh,
the aria Ich bin so müde von Seufzen, I am weary of my groaning, from Telemann's setting of Psalm 6, written for a service in St. Thomas's Church, Leipzig. The singer was René Jacobs with the Koken Consort and the Parnassus Ensemble. If you've just joined us, this is the Early Music Show with me, Catherine Bott, and today I'm looking into what lovers of German church cantatas owe to Telemann and Graupner. The answer is quite a lot in their various ways, as we'll hear. The story so far. Telemann, creator of the new one every Sunday cantata for the Thomaskirche in Leipzig, has been offered the job of cantor. He seems pleased, but he's got a different agenda. Telemann used the Leipzig offer to secure a substantial pay rise from his employers in Hamburg, made sure while he was at it that he would now be allowed to produce opera without opposition, and having arranged everything to his satisfaction, turned Leipzig down. The bigwigs had to think again, and this time they aimed a bit lower, opting for one of Cantor Kuhnau's most able former students, the man whose music began today's programme, Christoph Graupner.
Thank you.
Nova Stravagante, directed by Siegbert Rampe, playing a sinfonia by Graupner. Graupner had been working at the court of Darmstadt for 12 years, writing and directing music for all occasions. He was also raising a large family, so when his noble employers were obliged to make swinging budget cuts, I think swinging is the adjective du jour in our own hard times, he leapt at the chance to return to the city where he'd been a student. And there was no shame in being second choice to his friend Telemann. He handed in his resignation at Darmstadt. The good burghers of Leipzig must still have been a bit miffed with Telemann for using them to advance his career elsewhere. But grateful Graupner had much more to recommend him. He was modest and charming, he represented continuity, and he could write accomplished and appropriate music to order.
Thank you. Maria fecit mihi magna, vipotens, vipotens, vipotens est. Et sanctum, sanctum lumen eius, et sanctum nomen eius, et sanctum nomen eius.
Oh,
Jürgen Ochs directed the Rastatter Hofkapelle in Graupner's setting of the Magnificat. There was only one snag with Graupner's acceptance of the job of cantor at St. Thomas's Church in Leipzig. His employer, Landgraf Ernst Ludwig, didn't want to let him go. And to prove it, he managed to get round his little local financial difficulty and offer his court composer an increased salary. Graupner couldn't avoid staying put in Darmstadt. But it's a mark of the man that he put aside his disappointment and wrote to the Leipzig City Council with a warm recommendation of their third choice, saying that he was a musician just as strong on the organ as he is expert in church works and capella pieces, and a man who will honestly and properly perform the functions entrusted to him. That strong, expert musician was, of course, Johann Sebastian Bach, who arrived in Leipzig with his family on May the 29th, 1723, and stayed there for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
The final chorus from Bach's St. Matthew Passion, first performed in Leipzig in 1727. Bach, the right man for the job. In his 27 years there, Leipzig's third choice cantor gave the world some of his greatest music. Nowadays, one can raise an easy laugh by mentioning his being some sort of afterthought behind Telemann, a composer who still divides opinion among Baroque fans, and Graupner, who he. For today's early music show, I've had to truncate and simplify the story, but it's worth investigating in more detail. Not for the first time, I commend you to the relevant chapter in Christoph Wolff's masterly book, Bach, the Learned Musician, which makes it clear that over a lengthy audition process involving far more than just three rivals, there were good and cogent reasons for appointing any one of the leading contenders. We and Bach owe a great deal to Telemann's acuity, and especially to the thwarting of Graupner's ambitions. Graupner himself stayed in Darmstadt for the rest of his days, composing prolifically. He left more than 1,400 church cantatas and 24 secular ones, 113 symphonies, about 50 concertos, 8 operas, and a wealth of chamber and keyboard works. He was greatly admired as a teacher and for the exquisite calligraphy of his manuscripts. Bach himself studied his works closely. One very sad thing that Graupner and Bach had in common is that they both lost their sight. When Graupner died 250 years ago, on May the 10th, 1760, he hadn't written a note of music for 5 years. He requested that all his works should be burnt after his death, and a tremendous legal wrangle ensued between his heirs and his employers. The dispute wasn't settled until nearly 60 years later, when his manuscripts were all deposited in the library of Darmstadt Castle. By that time, Beethoven and Schubert were in their prime, and Graupner's music was consigned to the footnotes. Let's end with music from one of his last cantatas, the aria Speak My Heart, and with words from Graupner's obituary notice. His penetrating understanding of all aspects of musical science, and in particular his abilities in sacred music, a field in which he knows no rivals, assure him of an imperishable reputation, as the great qualities of his heart assure that all who have known him will never forget him.
Sprich, mein Herz,
Sprich mein Herz, an aria from the cantata Lass dir wohlgefallen, one of the last works to be written by Johann Christoph Graupner, who died 250 years ago this year. Today's early music show was presented by Catherine Bott and produced by Sam Phillips. And in tomorrow's early music show, Lucy Skeeping presents a profile of the European Union Baroque Orchestra. Same time tomorrow, just after the 1 o'clock news, here on BBC Radio 3. Well, tonight, Radio 3 brings you a star-studded new production of a rare Italian opera.
Hello, I'm Angela Gheorghiu, and I'm really thrilled you are hearing Adriana Lecouvreur from the Royal Opera House on BBC Radio 3.
BBC Radio 3's Opera on 3 at the Royal Opera House.
My name is Mark Elder, and I am the conductor of this new production. The fact that the opera hasn't been heard in Covent Garden within living memory, and the cast is led by Angela Gheorghiu and Jonas Kaufmann, gives a particular sense of occasion.
Francesco Cinea's Adriana Lecouvreur from the Royal Opera House, Covent Garden. Join me, Donald MacLeod, tonight at 6:45 on BBC Radio 3.
Back to this afternoon, just coming up to 1 minute past two. And now another chance to hear last Monday's lunchtime concert, which was recorded at Wigmore Hall in London. The presenter is Louise Fryer.
Well, sadly, soprano Malin Christensen had to bow out of today's concert, but German soprano Ruth Zizak and pianist Gerald Huber have kindly stepped in at short notice to bring us a programme of Lieder by Mahler and Liszt. So far, so straightforward, except that the Mahler songs Ruth is going to sing are by Gustav and Alma Mahler, who was a composer in her own right. Gustav made it a condition of their marriage that she put her composing ambitions behind her, but when they first met, Alma was studying composition with Zemlinsky, and she continued to write songs. When their marriage went through a rocky patch in 1910 and Mahler was forced to reassess his relationship with Alma, he admitted her delightful new songs marked great progress and went on to have five of them published. Alma claimed to have written 100 songs altogether, of which only 14 survive. Ruth Zizak is going to sing five, starting with Die Stille Stadt, The Quiet Town, setting a poem by Richard Demel of Weklerternacht fame. And the fourth song we'll hear is another of his poems, Waldseligkeit, Woodland Bliss. The second song is by Dir ist es Traut, I'm at Ease with You. It's a Rilke setting, which the 19-year-old Alma wrote a few years after her affair with Gustav Klimt. Ich wandle unter Blumen, I wander among flowers, was written around the same time for her music teacher, Josef Labor, a blind organist whom she was briefly in love with. And the last of the group is Hymn an die Nacht, an erotic hymn to the night. And here is Ruth Zizak and pianist Gerald Huber to begin their recital from Wigmore Hall with five songs by Alma Mahler.
Thank you. Face.